Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are back in the studio with my beautiful sister, Tara. And we have been, for the last couple months now, doing Tell It Well, which is Tara Rye's Bible study, breathed from the Holy Spirit. And it's the first 12 chapters of the book of Acts, and it has been amazing. Tara has been storing every chapter, and then we kind of break it down a little bit.
We have been, and you know what? We are now already on Acts 5. I'm like, how is that possible?
Time
I know
goes by.
We've done this for 4 months with this particular book, and I've actually been in this book a lot longer. I've been working in the book of Acts for over a year and a half now, and every time I look at it, I'm amazed at how much the Lord teaches me something new. I love his word, and I love the fact, I don't even remember who I originally heard this from, but there's no such thing as old dew. Dew is new every morning, and the word of God is new dew. And we're going to look at a very familiar passage a lot of people know about, Ananias and Sapphira. And this couple is a part of the early church, and it's a really, you're going to have to forgive me because I've had a cold. Catalyst at this time, what happens on this day with this couple. And so I'm going to tell you the passage. I'll story through Acts 5, and then we'll begin dialoguing. We're going to look at what makes a walk of authenticity happen, and what did it look like with the early church. And we're going to discover that it cannot come from human origin. It must be from spirit filling. And it is very important to God that we keep things pure, because he is pure. Okay, let's begin with Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5, and we'll go on to see what happens in this chapter. Now, there was a man named Ananias, and he with his wife decided to get together, and they were going to sell a piece of property. And he said, you know what, hon? What I'm going to do is I'm going to sell it, but I'm going to keep back a certain amount of money for us. And we will go to the leaders of the church, and we'll give to them and tell them that this is the amount that we gave. And in agreement with her husband, she agreed to do this. And he went in to Peter, and Ananias walked up to him. And Peter looked at him, and he said, how is it that Satan has filled your heart in such a way that you would want to do this? Don't you understand that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? And what you had, it belonged to you. You didn't have to do this. Nobody was telling you how to do it. Why would you do such a thing? And don't you understand that what you have done is a lie to God? It's not that you have lied to me or to man. It's to God. And as soon as Ananias heard Peter say this, he fell dead to the ground. And the men standing there watching saw what happened. And they went and they got him, and they went and buried him. And as they were watching the people, a great fear fell upon all the people watching. About 3 hours later, Ananias' wife walked in the same room. And she walked up to Peter, and Peter said, did you and your husband sell this property for such and such price? And she said, yes. And he goes, how could you agree to do something like this against the Holy Spirit? And just then, she dropped dead in the exact same spot that her husband had died. And the same men that had carried her husband out and buried him picked her up and took her out and buried him. The whole church that was watching, they were amazed. And the bystanders that were watching, those that weren't believers, they were afraid. And what happened is that the apostles at this point began to perform many miracles, signs, and wonders. And, I mean, the believers were gathering in a full measure to come and see what they were doing. And, in fact, the people were so astounded by what Peter could do for the Lord and in the Lord that they thought, maybe if I just took my sick and laid them in the shadow of Peter, they would be healed. And they were. And it was an amazing time. And so crowds were gathering in Jerusalem to bring their sick and their tormented and those that needed healing before the apostles. And as the high priest and his associates, the Sadducees, were watching what was going on, they couldn't tolerate it. And they got so upset that they went and grabbed Peter and John, and they put them in jail. But during the night, while Peter and John were in this prison, an angel of the Lord opened up the doors to the jail cell and went to them and said, I want you to go into the temple courts and I want you to go and tell the people the full message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Peter immediately got up and did exactly as he was told by the angel, and he went to the temple courts in the Solomon's Colonnade, the place where all these amazing miracles had happened, and he stood there and he began to preach again the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, at about this time, the assembly of the religious leaders had gotten together, and they said, well, you need to go in and get them, because they were about to deal with the apostles. And they went in, and the jail cell was locked. They weren't there. They didn't know what happened, and they went back, and they were like, they're not there. And they went out and found them standing in the temple preaching. And they went and grabbed them and said, what is it? We gave you strict orders not to be preaching in this name, and you're out here doing it again. And Peter looked at them, and he said, you know what? We must obey what God says to do, not what man says. Mm-hmm. And he just flat out, he told them, he said, you killed him, but God appointed it to happen this way so that he could raise him from the dead. He was resurrected, though you killed him. And he is the one that came, and God exalted him and made him the Prince of Peace. And he is Savior. And those who obey him will be saved. And we are witnesses standing here today before you, proving that he is the Christ. And as the religious leaders were hearing what they were saying, they were furious. And they really wanted to do something. I mean, you could tell they were getting upset. And about this time, one of the religious leaders named Gamaliel, who was a very respected teacher of the law, stood up and he said, you know what? Wait a minute, men of Israel, you need to be careful. You need to be careful about what you're about to do, because some time ago there was a man named Thaddeus who appeared to be somebody, and he had a whole bunch of followers. Do you remember? And they were following after him, and then they all got killed and died away. The revolt disbanded, and there was another guy, and people started to follow after him, and he got killed, and it disbanded. What you have to understand is, if this is God and you're fighting against them, it's not them that you're fighting against, it's God. So if it's of God, it will be. Mm-hmm. But if it's of man, let it go, because it's going to die. It's not going to happen. Somehow, Gamaliel's words totally made peace come upon the religious leaders, and they said, okay. And it persuaded them. And so they flogged the apostles, and then they released them. And as they were walking out, Peter and the apostles, they were written down that they were praising the Lord because they were allowed the privilege of suffering for his sake. They were persecuted for doing for Christ. And they went from house to house in the temple courts and began preaching and teaching and remained faithful regardless of what the religious leaders did to them. Okay, that is Acts 5. I told you, it's a really full chapter.
It is.
Has a lot of great, great stuff. And I love the fact that God uses a religious leader that's not a part, a believer, to protect his believers when they're out proclaiming the word of God. And that's what Gamaliel did. But first, let's begin with, we're going to start off with Ananias and Sapphira. Mm. Now, this particular chapter, depending on which translation, it starts with the word now.
Mm-hmm.
Some translations, it may be the word but, or therefore, or because of. Whenever we see that kind of phrase in Scripture, that is a key for us to let us know that we need to look back to what we had just read, because it's a continuation. Though we have this in book, chapter, and verse, what occurs in Acts 5 is a reflection of what happened at the end of Acts 4. And if you remember from last month, Acts 4 ends with Joseph, who's a Levite, taking his most precious land, and the most expensive piece of land in the land of Cyrene, and he goes and sells it, and he takes everything from the proceeds of that land and lays it at the apostles' feet. Now, what has happened at this point is that Ananias, he's a believer. This is a person who is a part of the church, and he has watched, and he has seen what has happened and how this man received recognition for what he did. And so, in a way, a form of temptation is placed before him in observing this other person and his act of giving. Mm. And that is what is the prompt for Ananias to talk to his wife about, hey, let's take this land and let's sell it and give it to the apostles' feet. He liked the idea of the recognition. He didn't have to do what he was doing, but he wanted the recognition, but he still wanted to keep back some of the proceeds from what he made. And so what we're looking at here is we have in our lives an opportunity for us to step up and be used by God. And some of the commentators say, you know, it's almost as if Satan is saying, you know, is God really in the early church? It's almost as if that's the question that he's asking. And he puts this test amongst the people to see if God really is there. And
it gets answered.
It does. And when I was actually writing this particular chapter about a year or so ago, I was studying in, if I can remember all the places that I was studying. I was writing a chapter for the Open Door Mission on Genesis 3, and that has to deal with Cain and Abel and their sin. I was writing on the chapter of Joshua 7 for Lifeway, and that one deals with Achan's sin. No, chapter 3, yeah. Genesis 3 is Adam and Eve. Genesis 4 is Cain and Abel. So, and I was writing on Adam and Eve for an assignment that I had. I was writing on Cain and Abel for an assignment with Open Door Mission. I was writing on Achan and his sin with the Jericho. And then I was writing on Ananias and Sapphira. And that God allowed me to do that because I want to summarize real quick these four different areas. Adam and Eve was first sin. Mm-hmm. Cain and Abel were the first children and their sin. And then Achan, his sin was the first sin of the conquering of the promised land at Jericho. And then Ananias' sin is at the early church. All of these are at the beginning of a new era in the kingdom of God and the walk of people, taking the next level.
That pride.
Boy, it does come in, doesn't it? It does. But Achan's words were when Joshua asked him, he said, why? Why did you do this? Achan answered and he said to Joshua, and he goes, you know, I saw it. I liked it. I wanted it, and I took it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it simply came down to. You think about Eve. She saw that it looked good, and she took it. Mm-hmm. With Cain, it was that he was jealous because the praise that his brother had was greater than what he had. He saw it, and he wanted it, so he wanted to take it. And here with Ananias and Sapphira, they saw something. They wanted it, so they tried to take it. Mm-hmm. What it always comes down to, that when Satan brings forth a temptation into our life, it will be where he brings something that we will see, he will bring something that we will want, and he will bring something and tempt us to take it before we're supposed to have it or whether or not we're supposed to have it. And so what we see here is a challenge to the early church. Mm-hmm. And for the early church, the reason why it was so important is that the church is pure. It has just begun.
Well, and I think about the first commandment, let there be no other gods before me. When you have greed or lust or envy in your heart, right? Guard your heart above all else because it's the wellspring of life. Yeah. Whatever you're constantly, you know, that is my priority. Where does God go? None of them were thinking about what's best, what God's best was for their life. That's so much today.
Yeah. Yeah. And it has to go back to who are we listening to? Who are we listening to? I mean, the scripture is very clear. It says, my sheep will hear my voice. Mm. And we have to go back and ask ourselves, whose voice am I listening to? And there's three ways that we can hear a voice. I mean, well, hold on. Three temptations we can hear a voice. And then a fourth way would be the Lord. We can hear it through the flesh, the world, and then through Satan. And then we can hear God's voice. And we have to make sure that it's God's voice that we're tuning into. Mm. And that can only happen by knowing what God's word says,
right.
and being in the word and staying in the word, because when that temptation comes, it comes so quickly. Mm-hmm. Last week I was in a situation and something was brought to my attention and it was there within me. I was so surprised at how quick the temptation to lie came to me. Mm-hmm. And I was so grieved. I mean, it grieved me for like 3 days, and I didn't lie. But it was there. My heart wanted to. It was so quick. My heart wanted to. And it just, the temptation came so swift that I almost spoke before I should have. And as my mouth was speaking, it occurred to me, and it's like, wait a minute, this could lead down the wrong path. I can't go this route. And I changed what my behavior was and changed the path. And when I was preparing for our recording, I thought, God, did you allow that to happen just so that I could remember the panic of that moment of realizing I was about to make a choice to walk away from God? And it can happen so quickly, and it can happen in such a simple and innocuous moment where you least expect it, and it just can be there so quick. You have to guard yourself. And so I want to summarize, and I want us to make sure that we get this, is that at this point, what I want us to take for this particular day is I want us to see that the enemy of God will challenge God, okay? And we're going to look at other aspects next 3 weeks, but I want you to see for today, and what will happen is it will come through the proposal of an idea. See the apple, or see how the honor went to the other person, or to see the object of want that we want, or as in this case, praise. And a proposed idea will come to us. The enemy will bring a proposed idea. At this point, it is not a sin. At this point, it is just something that is proposed to us to see how we will respond. Mm. And so it's just laid out. And then the choices we make follow can have a great impact. The second thing what will happen is that the enemy of God will do whatever he can to coax us or encourage us to purpose in our hearts to follow in agreement with him. Okay? So the proposed idea comes, and then all of a sudden, it's almost like you got that little white angel and the little demon on your shoulders getting mm-hmm. you going back and forth to see if he can get you to agree with him. And the third thing that's going to happen is that he will motivate us to proceed, to take an action, to put foot to it, to let our feet and our hands move forward, or even our mouth. Our responsibility is that we have to stop it before it moves into action or word. That would be word or deed, mm-hmm. okay? So that will be our opener for today on Acts 5. You need to come back next week, because we're going to be looking at how that human origin of temptation can come in, and it can really stop us from really flying and glorifying God. And we want it to be where we are moving forward in God's origin and not our own. God bless.